Hey, good vach, everybody. Good vach. It's chus to be together, to be back together. Feels, in a sense, like a new year. You know, when you go through a yantav, it's a hischadshus, it's a new beginning. And it's chus to be back together, continue to learn together, continue to grow together. I want to thank Naomi for always helping to put everything together. It should be a big chus, only simcha and bracha. The story I've probably shared before, very short, just a tremendous chizik for the Beis Avram of Slonim. And there was a Yid who came to the Beis Avram of Slonim on Purim, crying, tears, and wanting to be so much more. Talking about the chizik that he received Purim, might have been under the influence on some level. Crying to the Rebbe, and asking him for advice, for chizik, for zoras, who he wants to be. And the Beis Avram of Slonim looked at him and he said very simply, "Do me a favor. Come back in a few days and we'll talk." What he was saying was, you know, sometimes when you're in a certain zman that's full of kedusha, it's easy to feel close to Hashem. It's easy to remember who we are supposed to be. And then, we've all gone through this before, where those feelings fade. And a few days later, it doesn't feel the same. The Beis Avram wanted them to come back in a few days. He said, right now, okay, it's true. You do, not that it's fake, but I want to talk to you in a time of normalcy, in a certain sense. Because that's when you need to be close to Hashem. That's when you need the chizik. That's when you need the soros. We know all. We need to all learn how to take those highs and internalize them and keep them with us. And here we are, a little over a week after Pesach. And the question is, how much of Pesach do we still have with us? How much of 2 weeks ago, tonight was Lel Seder? And Lel Seder, for every single Jew, is a time when we're elevated and we feel closer to Hashem and we remember what Hashem did for us and therefore what Hashem does for us. Do we feel that now? And I'll tell you the truth, in a certain sense, I think, I hope, more than any other yantiv, Pesach is one that we can do that. Because there's a built-in system to help us keep all the chizik, to keep all the soros from Pesach with us. There's a built-in system, and that's called Sfiras HaOmer. That we don't just leave Pesach. Other Yom Tovim we leave, and we're left to regular days. When Sukkot was over, Simchas Torah, that's it. You know, we're still in Tishrei, Cheshvan, but when Chanukah ends, that's it. Purim's over. Shavuos is Mirz Hashem going to be in. But when Pesach ends, we don't go back into regular days. We go into a time period that started on Pesach. And it's supposed to keep us elevated, and keep us growing, keep us working on ourselves. And keep all the growth of Pesach with us. The days of Sfiras HaOmer. You know, Sfiras HaOmer to women is an interesting discussion. Talk a little halacha for a moment. Obviously, you all know there's no obligation on any of you to count Sfiras HaOmer. Right? It's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. It's a positive time about mitzvah. You have no chiv to count Sfiras HaOmer. That's not to say you can't. You definitely can. You could be mekayim any mitzvah saseh shazman grama, the same way you could shake a lulav and eswag on sukkahs, and you could sit in the sukkah, and you, I'm sure, all went to Shul Rosh Hashanah, heard the shofar. If you didn't do those mitzvahs, you did nothing wrong. You weren't obligated in them. It doesn't mean you can't be mekayim them. There's a very famous halachic discussion whether women should make brachos on these mitzvahs. Svardim, if anyone's Svardi here, Svardim actually hold women do not make mitzvahs on mitzvahs asesh man grama, because you can't say the word shetzivanu. Right? Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa vitzivanu. That's a bracha we make on mitzvahs. You can't say vitzivanu. if you're not commanded. That's how Svardim hold. So you could be mekayim the mitzvah, but you can't actually say we were commanded to perform the mitzvah. So you can't make a bracha. Ashkenazim say no, even us who are Ashkenazim, we can even make brachas on a mitzvah I wasn't commanded, because vitzivanu means we as a nation were commanded. The men were commanded, so we're acknowledging that. But regardless of that discussion, to be mekayim the mitzvah, count tzvira, right? People mistakenly think, and this is something also, right? We all know, everybody knows the famous halacha, that if you miss one day of tzvira, you no longer can count with a bracha. That's true for men and women alike. That doesn't mean stop counting tzvira. I still count tzvira omer. The mitzvah is disconnected from the bracha. The bracha is an enhancement to a mitzvah. If any of you, Mirtz Hashem, B'shtoivich, or B'zoicha, you'll be married, you'll be lighting Shabbos candles. So I doubt it's something you can ever forget to do, but if you did forget to make the bracha on the Shabbos candles, you still were and you lit the candles, you're mekayim the mitzvah. You get the mitzvah. A bracha is an enhancement. It helps be mahadir, to beautify, to put it in the right kavana. So you still count tzvira even if you miss a day. There's also a famous discussion, I'm sure some of you have learned before, as far as women, whether women should even if you didn't miss a day, make a bracha on tzvira omer. That's a discussion on the bracha, not on the counting. For sure you should count. Because it's a little bit easier for a woman to forget than for a man. And it's not because the Torah is machshiv men more than women. It's just when, ultimately, if something's a commandment, a chiv, which it is on men and not women, so we're more worried about the mitzvah, there's more chance we will not forget. Additionally, men daven ma'ariv every night. They have a built-in reminder. Women don't have that. So there's a lot of reasoning to more so believe a woman could forget. So some say because a woman very possibly will forget, even from the beginning she shouldn't make a bracha, because there's a big chance she's going to miss a day. And we're worried about that shita, that's one big mitzvah, and not each day is its own mitzvah. But regardless of all of that discussion, ultimately we should all count tzvira. You should all count tzvira every day. I think most women do make brachas, as long as you haven't forgotten. Elu ve'elu, whatever you do is fine. There's definitely halachic backing both ways. In fact, the Magen Avram is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. It says that women particularly took upon this mitzvah. That they wanted to perform this mitzvah, which they weren't obligated. But I want to talk tonight not about the mitzvah itself, per se, but a deeper message in this very special mitzvah. Before we get even to the B'derech Avod, internalizing into our life, into the way that we serve Hashem always, there's a lot of halacha that's learned out from one word. In the pasuk about Tzvirus Omer in Parshas Emor, says, "Usvartem lechem imachas haShabbos miyom aviyachem es Omer tenufa sheva Shabbosos tamimos." That we should count 7 weeks, but it says Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. 7 complete weeks. 7 Tamimos weeks. That word Tamimos is unnecessary. It's completely unnecessary in that makom, right? Right? If the pasuk would have said, count Sheva Shabbosos, count 7 weeks. And to say count 7 complete weeks, does that change the meaning on any level? I mean, obviously, counting 7 weeks, we'd all assume, means 7 complete weeks. What else does it mean? What does the word tamimos add to the counting of Sfiras Omer? And there are a lot of halachas we learn from this. First of all, it teaches us that it's best to count right away at the beginning of the night, at nightfall. Because that way we count the complete day, tamimos day. Right, if I count Sfira, let's say the day we know is in the Jewish calendar starts at night. So let's say tonight, for example, Tzeitz HaKochavim was right around 8:30 at night. I don't count Sfira till 10:30. So I didn't count the full 24 hours, I only count the 22 hours. It wasn't Tamimus. The word Tamimus means get the whole day in. So one halacha is we should try always to count right away. We should always do mitzvahs. The reason Makdim al-Mitzvahs. but specifically by Svir Somer. Another halacha, some say this is the source, that if you miss one day, you're not yotzei the mitzvah, because it has to be tmimus. It has to be that extra word, teaches, it has to be complete. Although that's learned from other reasons as well, I'm not going to get into that. Another very interesting halacha, you'll remember this, is that when it comes to Shavuos, there's no such thing as early Shavuos. You know, some started making early Shabbos as Shabbos already. And that's beautiful. That's not just convenient. That's actually an extra halacha of Tosefes Shabbos. You're adding on to Shabbos. This is a very beautiful thing to do. But you can't do that for Shavuos. There's no such thing as making early Shavuos. There's no such thing as making early Shavuos because the Torah says, when is Shavuos? After Sheva Shavuos Tumimos. After 7 complete weeks. If you make early Shavuos, you're cutting in to the 7 complete weeks. It's not complete. You're having less than 7 complete weeks. So Shavuos, when it's going to be on a Sunday night this year, Mir Tashem, it has to start at nightfall. That's, by the way, it's very interesting. Many hold, and it's something to remember, and maybe to share with your mothers, many hold by Shavuos not to light candles when we usually light candles. When do we usually light candles? 18 minutes before Shabbos or 18 minutes before Yontav. But that's in order to have Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontav on some level. But Shavuos, you can't have Tosefes. And even during Be'en HaShemashos, even during twilight, between sunset and nightfall, it's not even clear what day that is yet. So it's best to really wait to light candles, Shavuos, after Seisa Kochavim, after nightfall. Right, it's Yontif, we're allowed to do that. We're allowed to light candles on Yontif. So many hold that's what the best thing to do is by lighting, because earlier than that, it's not really Shavuos. You can't take in Shavuos early. Those are all halachos we learn out from Tumimos. But what does the word really mean? What can I learn in my Avodas Hashem? What can I learn about how I'm supposed to count Sviras Omer this year? And to me, whether you've missed a night or not, we just said you still should be counting. And we're still living Sviras Omer. And it's not all about counting every single day in that normal sense. But am I counting my Tmimos? And what do I mean by that? So I want to just read one line in a Medrash that tells us what Tmimos means. It's in Vayikarabo on these words. Chaf Ches Gimel in the Medrash. Tani Reb Chia. Reb Chia teaches us. Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyana. You should have 7 complete weeks. Listen to these words. Because it's a deep yisod in Avodas Hashem. Emosai Hein Tamimos. Emosai Hein Tamimos. When are these days Tamimos Dik? When are these days complete? Bizman Shisrael Osin Ritzono Shomakum. When we do the will of God. Bizman Shisrael Osin Ritzono Shomakum. Meaning, if I want to make these Tamimos Dik days, and these are my preparation for Kabbalah the Torah, Osin Ritzono Shomakum. Do what Hashem wants. That's what Tamimos means. I want them to be complete weeks. Don't just count them. What counting is just, it takes how hard? A minute a day. The whole Tzman is Svir Somer. Osin Ritzono Shomakum. What does that mean, Osin Ritzono Shomakum? What does it mean to do the will of God? So most of us think, if I ask most people, I believe, what does it mean to do the will of God? It means follow his mitzvahs. Davin, dress snias, make brachas before we eat, keep Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, good. You know, we think to ourselves, we're doing these things. I mean, I could do them with a little bit more kavana, perhaps. And okay, I'm there. I'm good. I'm tamim. Tamim sounds like a lot more than that, right? Tamim's like pure perfection, completion. So, what does Oyser Ritzon Hashem Makom mean? What does it mean to do what Hashem wants? It's much more than that. It's much more than what we just said. Not that that's incredible. It's someone who's davening every day and who's dressing bitznias and is keeping Shabbos and making, but that's incredible. That's awesome. But that's not tamimus. That's not what tamimus is. I can read you from the Shem Yishmol what tamimus is. Shem Yishmol actually says it's by Chanukah. Because Yevanim tried to get us lashkicham Torasecha, to forget your Torah. Ulahavira mechuke ritzonecha. And to remove the Jews from the ritzonecha, your ritzon. So what is ritzonecha? So listen to what the Shem Yishmol says. He says, the malachim nikram ose devaro. Angels ose devaro. Do the word of God. The Yisrael, and us Jews, nikram osei ritzonecha. He brings a proof from the end of Halal in different places, the Hasidecha, Tzadikim, osei ritzonecha. So again, listen closely. There's something very deep here. Malachim osei devaro, do the word of God. We do ratzon Hashem, ritzonecha. And he explains, listen closely to these words. The hefrish bein zel lezeh, what's the difference between these two things? Shedibor, Ose Devaro, Hubis Galus, it's what's revealed. It's what we know Hashem has told us to do. Those are the mitzvos. Those are the 613. Viratzon, but the will of God, Hubimatzbon, that's what Safun, what Safun, right? We just had it, Lel Seder, it's what's hidden. The malachim do exactly what they are told, what they're explained to do. But they can't go and understand what is the deep, real, deep will of God. Our job is to understand deeply what Hashem really wants from us. That's what it is to be Oser Ritzon El Shel Makom. That's what it is to do Ratzon Hashem. Not just Oser Devaro. What is Tamimus, this man, Shes Yisrael, Oser Ritzon El Shel Makom? You know, if you think about it, so Hashem asks us to Devaro, to dive and to make brachos, to dress with things, the things, right, we've said. If you really think about it, how much of your day does that take up? How much in one day? A person could do in a day, some people, could do everything that's devaro, everything that I'm told that's begila, that's revealed to me to do. It takes up a whole, I don't know, at least 2 hours of my day. Right? Think about it. Even I daven a kavana de geshachers, I daven a mincha, I make brachos before I eat. I try to learn a little bit. And, you know, that's the black and white. But most of life is actually gray. Most of life is up to us to figure out, in every circumstance, in every situation, what is Ratzon Hashem? What does Hashem really want from me? What does Hashem want for me when I'm hanging out with my friends? What does Hashem want for me in my class in college? What does Hashem want for me on Shabbos afternoon with my family? What is Ratzon Hashem? And that's the ultimate goal. You know, I think I've shared this with you before, but I recently just, literally a few days ago, shared this at a very special young girl reached out to me. Teenager, who's in high school still, was struggling with an inyan on Shabbos. Was struggling with an issue. Now, this inyan on Shabbos happened to be an inyan which is Osa Devaro. It was an inyan Shabbos which is revealed. Being on one phone on Shabbos is clearly already Devaro. That's already what's revealed that we're not allowed to be doing. And she first and foremost just wanted to know, you know, what is wrong with it? What is the iser? You know, it's not one of the 39 malachas to not go on your phone on Shabbos. So I explained to her different opinions. There's a lot of different opinions, actually. What exactly is the malacha of electricity and what it is? I'm not going to... It's a whole shir within itself. Whether it falls into mavir, similar making a fire. Whether it's binyan, you're actually... You're building because you're connecting currents. Whether it's actually midrabanan, I'm not going to get into that right now. I explained that all to her first. But I knew, let's be real. She was asking that. But that's not what she wanted to really hear. Meaning, if somebody of a teenager who's a beautiful, wonderful young woman who's wanting to grow, it's very beautiful that she reached out. But she's not really reaching out just to know, okay, check, the rabbi told me this is the iser. Like, she knew already it was aser. And hearing exactly which iser it was not going to help give her that chizik. That's not what it was going to... That wasn't what that conversation... That's not what I felt the conversation was going to be about. So I told her after, but I did answer her all those first. And we spoke about it and the challenges of it and some eitzah and what to do. This was much earlier in the week. I spoke to her a couple hours before Shabbos. She was very excited to... I didn't speak to her after Shabbos, but she was very excited to take care of this and that shouldn't be an issue, Bez Hashem. We came up with a plan. But I said to her the following as well. I might have shared this before. It's something I tried to be mechazik people with. I said to her, what happens when you have a shiloh, you have a question? So you go to your rabbi. You reached out to me. And I'll give you an answer. Whatever, sometimes people reach out to me with shailas, and I'm not sure. So what do you think I do? So I'll go to my rebbeim. I have rebbeim that are way bigger talmidei chachamim than I am. We're holding in Torah in ways I only could yearn to one day be. And I'll reach out to discuss with Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger Shlita, with Rabbi Simon Shlita, with the Shvili Pinchas Friedman Shlita, different tzaddikim. And sometimes I'll reach out to them, and they're actually not sure of that answer. And Baruch Hashem, that's why these are my Rabbeim, they have enough humility to say to me, Aryeh, I'm not sure. What would they then do? So they go to their Rabbeim. They go to people bigger than them in their eyes, to whoever that might be, whether Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, Rav Chaim Knievsky, big people. What happens? Who's the biggest? Who's the top of the totem pole? You want to say, so Bistam in our generation, you could say those people. Rav Chaim Knievsky, pretty much, can you think of someone who's the last, the top? You have a Shaila and nobody else knows the answer. Who's going to know it? Right? Who's going to know it? Who would you go to? If you could get to him somehow, right? Reb Chaim, stop. No, that's not the top of the totem pole. I said to her, you know what the top of the totem pole is? The very top? It's Hashem Himself. It's the Rabbonu Shel. And sometime, who knows better than anyone how we should be literally taking every step, how we should be breathing, how we should be speaking, how we should be... Who knows better than anyone? The one who created it all and created us. Right? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam Himself. And sometimes, you don't have to come to me, and I don't have to go to my Rebbe, and he doesn't have to go to his Rebbe. It's very simple. We have the ability sometimes... Just literally just go straight to Hashem. And sometimes it's so clear. What? What's the question? What is Ratzon Hashem? And I said to her, I think it's pretty clear, and I think you know this very well, that regardless of if we fully comprehend why or why not it is or isn't halachically letter of the law allowed, it's very clear Hashem did not give us Shabbos Kodesh to be on our phones. That's not Ratzon Hashem. It's not what Hashem wants. And if it's not what Hashem wants, it's definitely not in our best interest. It's definitely not going to be good for us. Now, I discussed with her and explained to her also at length about the beauty of Shabbos and how Shabbos is that time to disconnect from the outside world and the interaction we have and all that holds us back from being ourselves and being with Hashem. And that's a whole other discussion about Shabbos, which maybe for another time. But this idea of thinking in these terms, what is Ratzon Hashem? And sometimes the answers then are so clear and so quick. Sometimes I'm not clear what is Ratzon Hashem. And that's why I have my mentors and my rabbeim and people that I could go to, Baruch Hashem. But at the end of the day, the goal is Ratzon Hashem. The goal is following the will of Hashem. Doing what He wants. It's not learning as much Torah as I can or davening with as much kavanah as I can, but it's doing His will. So I learn as much Torah as I can and I daven with as much kavanah because I understand that is Ratzon Hashem. And sometimes Ratzon Hashem is not to daven and to help my wife with a child or take care of my child. And I'm not going to be able to daven that tefillah. And that's Ratzon Hashem. And that's beautiful. And sometimes, maybe some of you have family members who are atzalah. And Ratzon Hashem is that they should be getting in a car on Shabbos and going to help someone. A Shabbos, you're not able to do that. No, that's Ratzon Hashem. 100%. Ratzon Hashem is what it is to be tamim. It's not just that I try to keep as many mitzvahs, of course we do. But the goal has to be not just, oh, he said devaro is the level of a malach. We're higher than malachim. I'm higher than an angel. I could understand, as the Shema Shmuel says, I could go and I could understand, go Yosef and understand the kavanah of Hashem. I could understand what He really wants from me. More than what He tells me to do. I could understand how to live in all the gray areas of life. And elevate everything in my life to Hashem. That's Ratzon Hashem. Sheva Shabbazos Tumimos. O Yisim Ritzon Hashem Malkom. We're preparing for Kabbalah's Torah. By doing Ratzon Hashem. By the way, it makes so much sense. Stop and think about it for a moment. Klal Yisrael's preparing to receive the Torah. What were they doing to prepare? What were they doing? They didn't have the Torah yet. So they couldn't be performing the mitzvos. What were they doing? Just they were in this bodhidus doing yoga and contemplating God's existence for 49 days. I mean, what were they doing? Maybe this is what they were doing. Sheva Shabbazos Tumimos. They were thinking about and talking about and how could I do Ratzon Hashem? How could I do it? What do I believe Hashem really wants from me? And then Hashem finally told them, by the way, these are the guidelines and filtered it all through this. These are the general mitzvot that I want you to be doing so you know my Ratzon. But now take these and expand it and be expansive in every area of your life. And constantly live with that mindset. You know, in the world of psychology and the secular world, and even in the Jewish world, there's a lot of talk about having a growth mindset. I'm sure you've all heard this, you know? And it's very important, but that's something, again, that's not new to us as Jews. That's why like it's been a big chiddush, and all these like hundreds of books written by people having a growth mindset. Shkoyach, like that's what we've been doing our whole lives as Jews. That's all that there is. Like to always be growing, like I didn't need some modern day psychologist to tell me I should have a growth mindset. It's like all of Torah, mitzvahs, all of life. Adam la'amal yulad, and to always be in a state of growth. We've been saying this for 5,781 years. Like that's like, the world's coming around. We need not just a growth mindset. Our mindset has to be Ratzon Hashem dika mindset. My mindset has to be constantly, what does Hashem really want from me? That's Tumimus. And that's what Tzvir Omer is about. Sheva Shabbazos Tumimus. That's how we're going to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. Hashem brought me a very special matana. If you take the gematria, Im Ose Ratzon Hashem Elokeinu. im oseh ratzon Hashem Elokeinu. Meaning Hashem Yudkei Vavkei, obviously spell it out. Im oseh ratzon Hashem Elokeinu. It's exactly Gematria 896. Which is exactly Gematria Tamimos. What is Tamimos? Im oseh ratzon Hashem Elokeinu. If I do the ratzon Hashem Elokeinu. Mamish, you can't make it up. Im oseh ratzon Hashem Elokeinu Gematria Tamimos. That's our avodah during these days. To think about and yearn and want to do ratzon Hashem. To do ratzon Hashem. To do ratzon Hashem in everything that we do. In all areas of our life. What does Hashem want from me? How does Hashem want me to be acting? And it could guide me in such incredible ways. Sometimes I'm stuck. It's on a Matzah Shabbos. Or my family's on vacation. Should I be doing this? Should I not be doing this? We're not sure, you know. There's no exact halachic guidance for this. Just stop and think. What would Hashem want you to be doing now? What is Ratzon Hashem? And the answer is very clear. You know, even though we've finished Pesach already, again, we're still very connected, and we're trying to keep Pesach with us, and all the Muna Pesach with us, right? And Tzvira is this incredible unit that connects Pesach and Shavuos. The Ramban says all of this is one long Yantiv. It's like Pesach at the first day's Yantiv, the last day Yantiv, Chol HaMoed. So Pesach, all Pesach are the first day's Yantiv, Tzvira is Chol HaMoed, and Shavuos are the last day. So we're still connected. What was at the very end of Pesach? Kriyas Yamsuf. And there's a medrash in Shmos Rabbah that says that Kriyas Yamsuf was in the schus of Bayakedes Yitzchak. But specifically the following. The pasuk says Bayakedes Yitzchak, Vayivoka Avram Atze Ola, that Avram went and he chopped down the wood. Vayivoka, he chopped the wood to make a fire to burn his son. And what is Kriyas Yamsuf? One word is Kriya, but in the Torah it says Vayibaku Hamayim. The water split, just like the tree split, that's what is chopping the wood, so the water split. Same word. So the Medrash says in the Schus that Avram went and chopped the wood, Vayibaka, for Kedis Yitzchak, Rezoichedu Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayibaku Hamayim. What's the connection? What does one have to do with another? So I also saw this in the Shemesh Shmuel on Pesach. An incredible idea. He says it's interesting in the Medrash. It's not just that because Avram was willing to shecht Yitzchak, where Zochet Kriyas Yamsuf, it was specifically one part of the Akedat Yitzchak, the chopping of the wood. What's the big deal on the chopping of the wood? Shkoyach, I would chop some wood also. It wasn't the moment when he literally had his son up there ready to kill him. Like, what's the chopping of the wood in that schus? Hashem split a sea and saved all Bnei Yisrael. That's what the Medrash says. So listen to what the Medrash says. The Medrash says an incredible idea. You know, sometimes in life, we do something because we have to. And sometimes we do something because I want to. You know, when we talk Ratzon Hashem, one angle of Ratzon Hashem is what we've said until now. It's trying to think what Hashem wants for me, so I'll do that, His will. But another idea of Ratzon Hashem is to make His Ratzon my Ratzon. To not just do it because I have to, but because I want to. Now, obviously that's a different passion and a different excitement than just when I'm forced to and I have to and I'm obligated to. because I want to. Shem Shmuel explains as follows. Listen closely. He says, a big difference between when I have to do something and I want to do something. If I'm, what's that? When I have to do something, I'm happy to have any excuse in the world not to do it. Something happens and I can't follow through. Shkoyach, I'm happy that it didn't end up happening, right? I never even wanted to do it. That's when I have to do something. When I'm obligated to do something. When I want to do something, it's, as they say in Yiddish, pum fakert. Right? When I want to do something, I'm going to make sure, and every tactic in the world, to ensure that this ends up happening. And I'm going to think through every possibility so that I can follow through. I do everything possible to ensure that it happens. The complete opposite of when I'm only forced to do it. Avram Avinu is told to shecht his son. Avram Avinu is told to shecht his son. His son that he loved. His son that was 37 years old. His son that he was promised he'd build a nation through. Now Hashem told him to do that. Kach nas bincha. So Avram's going to do it. That test wasn't even to see if he'd do it. Because he's definitely going to do it. It's Avram Avinu. He's the one who brought God's presence into the world. He believed in God wholeheartedly. So whatever God tells him, he's going to do. But the test was to see, are you going to do it because you have to or because you want to? That doesn't mean I want to kill my son. He's not a sick, perverted individual. But I want to do Ratzon Hashem. I made my Ratzon into his Ratzon. And so I'm going to do everything I can to do this because it's Ratzon Hashem. Not just that I have to. Avraham Avinu chopping the wood to bring with him. Immediately, by asking him Avram Baboker early in the morning and chopping that wood was a symbolism of Ratzon, not just Chiv. Because Avram could have just as easily said, I'm going to take my son, but I'll be more than happy if I get there and there's no wood to make a fire. Then I say, God, I tried, not my fault. I did everything, I came here, I was ready to do it. There's no wood. He could have set it up in a way to look for excuses even. And he wouldn't have been wrong. There's nothing he could have done. God never told him he had to do all this before. By him going and chopping the wood, he was saying, I want to make sure I can do everything so for sure this happens. That was saying, I'm not just doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because I want to. I'm making your will, Hashem, my will. Asay ritzon cha ritzono, as the Mishnah Rabbah say. Make your will his will. And that's the schus, that's why it was the chopping of the wood that was a schus of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Medrash is saying. Because when we go above and beyond, and we make our will God's will, and then serve Hashem with such passion and excitement, Hashem says, I'll do anything for you, I'll make miracles for you. Things that shouldn't even be possible. You went above and beyond. My will is your will. I'll make your will my will. And I'll split a sea for you. So it was the schus of that act of Avraham Avinu that the Kriyas Yamsuf happened. That's as well what it means. That's as well what it means to be tamimistic, osim ritzono shamakom. Not just do his will because it's his will. First and foremost, what we said until now is think about what is the will of Hashem as we orchestrate our lives. But then make that will your will. Make that will your will. That's tamimis. Im osim ritzono ratzon Hashem elakenu gematria tamimis. Tell you one more gematria. And this one's a little wild. But it's mamish, listen. This one came to me on Pesach. And I was thinking about this idea when I saw this Shem Shmuel. Because you know what else is going to happen when you make your will the will of God? And when you live a life that we're describing, Tell you a little secret. You're just going to find tremendous simchas achayim, tremendous happiness. Because so much of our struggles in life, you're just finding the true self. And not being true to ourself. And we're most besimcha when we're true to ourselves. And true to ourselves means living up to who I'm supposed to be. Who I'm supposed to be is someone who's oyser ritzoyin hamakom. And when I think this way, it's what's best for me, and I'll be happiest, feeling that I'm living up to my purpose and making Hashem's will my will. If you take the gematria, Ma Yisod HaChayim, what is the foundation of life? Liyia Tamid B'Simcha, to be always happy. Ma Yisod HaChayim Liyia Tamid B'Simcha. But you have to add also the 25 letters of that whole entire question, plus the koil. So if you add that together, trust me on this, you could work it out on your own time. It's 1,093. Exactly the gematria. Asei ritzoncha, ritzono. Make your will his will. As the Mishnah of Avos teaches us. Ma yisoid achayim liya tamid b'simcha. What's the foundation in life to be always happy? Make your will his will. Asei ritzoncha, ritzono. 1,093. Chever, that's what these days are for. They're tmimistik days. Yes, it's true, we're counting. But the counting is sheva shavazos to remind us to be tmimus. Are we just counting or are we preparing to receive a Torah? And to prepare to receive a Torah means I'm getting in that mindset of Ratzon Hashem. What does Hashem want from me? I'm living that type of lifestyle. In everything that I do. In my life decisions. In what I'm going to wear today. In how I'm going to talk to my friends today. What activities I'm going to do. What I'm going to allow myself to look at. Every decision. Is this Ratzon Hashem? Am I making Ratzon Hashem my Ratzon? That's tmimus. That's pure. That's complete. That's Bnei Yisrael. We're Bnei Yisrael. We're Yaakov, right? Bnei Yisrael is from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is Ishtam Yoshev Ha'alam. Tamimus. Our vote is to get back to that. That's our vote. You know, we're sitting here also just the last few days of Nisan. Nisan was the Gula, Nisan Atid and Ligol, and we're yearning for Gula. A lot of us have a minog at the very end of Pesach to have a Sudas Mashiach, and part of the reason for that is we went through this tremendous celebration, Pesach, of the Ula from Mitzrayim, but we're yearning for so much more. And we're extending that into Svira, and we want so much more. We want a Geula within ourselves to find personal freedom and find that Simcha we just spoke about. We want the ultimate Geula. Doing what Hashem wants. Just end with a story that brings us back to that Geula and brings us back to Lel Seder. But to take Seder into the year. I saw this in, I don't remember which one of Rabbi Chiel Spiro's Haggadahs. He has two, touched by a Seder, touched by a story. I'm sure some of the Chever has them. If not, you should get them for next year. Very special. He says it was a couple, I think their names were Alan and Sherry, perhaps. The names are not important. It's a true story. And they were Jewish, but completely irreligious. Completely. I mean, not even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Nothing. And they had a child, a girl, Lisa. They were raising her. She didn't know she was Jewish, but stop there. She's 5 years old. And her best friend was also Jewish. And her best friend would go to Hebrew school once a week. And she would talk about how incredible it was, how much she enjoyed and loved it and was learning. And Lisa wanted that so badly, and she came to her parents, I want to go to Hebrew school. At first, especially her father was hesitant, but she wanted it so badly. He said, all right, what's the big deal? So maybe she'll make some honey cookies before Hashanah and want to sing Dayenu on Pesach. Let it be. What's she really wanted? Be with her friend. Let it be. She goes, but she doesn't just go. She starts learning and enjoying. And she starts talking at home about what it is to keep kosher and Shabbos. And her mother was okay with it all. And even excited a little bit about it. Father was very anti this whole deal. You know, we're not changing. We're not being. He didn't like to talk about it at all. Okay, but it was what it was. Right before Pesach, she made a project. She made this beautiful, this is what they made in the Hebrew school, this beautiful, colorful, big, kais shel aliho. And she brought it home, and she was so excited. She said, we're going to use this at our Seder, this kais shel aliho. They never had a Seder, they weren't planning on having a Seder. She says, we're going to have a Seder, right? I want to have a Seder. We learned all about it, the four questions, and drink wine, grape juice, chesnes, whatever, matzah. And the mother's like, oh, let me see, I'll talk to your father. She goes to the father, and the father says, no chance. This is exactly what I knew would happen. We're not having a Seder. We don't do that here. And the mother's like, yeah, but our daughter Lisa would mean so much to her. And then Lisa walks into the room, and she had that, like, that beautiful, sweet, five-year-old, innocent face. And the father, even though he was so anti this all, he looked at his daughter and he just melted and said, okay, we're having a Seder. We're having a Seder. And the mother was going online, learning what she has to do to prepare. They were going to at least just go through the basics. And a couple of days before, said to the father, listen, you know, we're doing this already. Let's make it nice for our daughter. You know, be into it a little bit. We'll try to sing a little. We'll try to... And he acquiesced for his daughter. And they're having the Seder, and they're going through it, and he was okay with it, but he wasn't so into it, but it was taking a long time. And she has to dal manish tana, and they're singing Dayenu, and they finally get up to Shulchan Aruch, and it was late at night, whatever time. And after Shulchan Aruch, he says, that was so nice, beautiful, I'm going to sleep. And the Lisa says, but we didn't even get up to Eliyahu yet. The whole entire, what prompted this whole night was the kais shel Eliyahu that she made. Dad, we didn't even get to Eliyahu yet. Could you just say? And he just snapped at that point because he thought to himself, I'm going so above and beyond. I didn't want any of this. I agreed to this all. And he just snapped. He started screaming, yelling. He never wanted this. And he just ran upstairs. See, he was tired. He ran upstairs to go to sleep. It was around 11 o'clock at night, maybe. 1 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up. And he was calmed down. And he felt terrible about what happened earlier in the night, how he lost his temper. And he knew he made his daughter feel so badly, and he should never have done that. It wasn't worth it. And he regretted everything he did. And he goes downstairs. He goes downstairs. And he gets down to the bottom of the stairs. He couldn't believe he saw his daughter. And his daughter was in the living room, which had a big window to the front, right next to the front door. And her face, her nose, was literally pressed up against the window. And he comes to give her a hug, to apologize. And she wouldn't even look really at him. And she's just pressed against the window. And she has tears like coming down her cheeks. And she says to her father, she says, don't you see him? Don't you see him outside? He's waiting to come in. We just have to open the door. It's waiting to come in. We just have to open the door. So real. She saw. He's waiting to come in. And the girl who doesn't even know, see this girl Lisa, was thinking about it. She doesn't even know what Devaro, Ritzono, she doesn't know anything. She doesn't know about obligations or will or... She only knows Ratzon Hashem. She only knows, I want to do what's right. I want to do what's best. I want to do what Hashem wants from me. I want to do live up to what I'm supposed to. And she was trying in the most innocent, most beautiful of ways to just bring that to her family. She sees the one that could literally see Mashiach waiting to come in. And telling the rest of us, we just have to open up the door. That we have to open up the door. Chevra, he's waiting. He's standing ready to come. He's just waiting for us to be the proper v'chasidecha, to be those tzaddikim that are osa ritzonecha. That are not just osa devaro, not just do what we need to do, but to live a life of ratzon Hashem. That's how we open up the door. So, mitzvah Hashem, we should be zoicha, this Sfiras Omer. Not just count Sfiras Omer. Count Sheva Shabbosos Tumimos. And Tumimos, complete and pure, doesn't necessarily mean I counted every day or didn't. Don't worry, if you missed a day, you didn't miss a day. Just always do the will of Hashem. To always think about what Hashem wants for me. And make my will His will. When each and every one of us makes our will, the will of Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will split the sea for us. Splitting the sea for us means what we're all waiting for. It's the Gula Shleima, not just the Gula then, but the Gula Shleima, which is also Keinu, from Herabimino. We should have a beautiful week, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll learn together Pekarov again.